Okay, everybody. So hopefully you all heard me before. For those who are just now joining us, again, the dial-in number and the access code are in the chat. And if you are having trouble logging into the web version, just go to readytalk.com and join a meeting that way. If you need any help, email me or use that chat, and we'll make sure you can get everything lined up for you. But for today's call, we have Leslie Huben and her assistant, Kelly Trim, and they're going to go into a kind of broad range of how to stay organized. And really, this is going to hit on a bunch of different points, and all geared toward trying to make your life a little bit easier and making sure that you are achieving your goals as efficiently as possible. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to those two, and they'll let you know what their plan is.
Okay, thanks. Hi, everybody. Delighted to be asked to speak on this topic. Efficiency and organization is something that I am quite passionate about. So I think we're going to be talking about tools and resources and strategies. And part of those tools and resources and strategies is having the right people to help you. And kind of to my point of the presentation, I'm actually going to turn it over, and Kelly is going to handle most of the presentation, and I will share some thoughts as we go along. So, Kelly, please say hi. I know you probably haven't spoken with a lot of our folks. Kelly's been with me for about 2 years now, and she's been a wonderful asset to my organization here, and I think you guys will enjoy hearing from her. So, Kelly, please say hi.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, Leslie and Megan, for inviting me to speak to this call. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, especially since Leslie hired me on to help her with her organizational tasks, and I'm really happy to be here. So I'm going to see if I can switch the slides, but I don't think I can. Megan, maybe you can go to the second slide here.
Sure thing. Just let me know when you want me to move forward.
Great. Thank you. So the way that Leslie and I talked with Megan about organizing this, you know, obviously we want to have an organized presentation because we're talking about staying organized. But whether you're a new consultant or someone in a larger office, or maybe you've been at this for a while and business is really picking up and you're doing really well and you're getting overwhelmed. Maybe your inbox is super full. You know, you've gotten a little bit behind on some things and are feeling a little bit overwhelmed. You know, there we have a lot of plates spinning in the air as we work through a franchise consulting business. So we just thought about let's simplify this to a few helpful hints and maybe some actionable items that you might be able to think about as you put your organization together or as you rethink the way things are going as you get busier. So the first one that we started out here, this is helpful hint number one, and that's to kind of decide on what tools you're going to use. Obviously, everyone uses FranConnect and email, but it's not just as simple as using those tools. It really is keeping those as fresh and up-to-date as possible is one of the main things that I know Leslie is committed to doing, and she has me helping her with those things. And then also the tools of Leslie's chosen to use Google Calendar with all the aspects that go with Google, the Google Drive, and also Gmail with her organization. And that has been a very important decision that she made early on. And as she's brought people on to help her with her business, she has shared those tools with us. So, Leslie, do you want to speak to how you use those a little bit?
Sure. And well, let's just kind of – email is its own special subject, so we'll get to that in just a minute because that can be such a huge productivity – anti-productivity if you don't handle your email properly. So we'll discuss that a little bit separately. But FranConnect, I mean, I am in and out of FranConnect every day. It is my task list. I address my task list in FranConnect for the day before I even allow email to come in for that day, and that has been a huge productivity boost for me. I don't even look at my email until about 10 in the morning, and by then I've accomplished most of the tasks that I've set out for myself, primarily with my pipeline. And that's the biggest way that I use FranConnect is scheduling myself for my follow-up activities with my clients and prospects in my pipeline, as well as who I'm communicating with for whatever marketing projects that I am involved with. That's and using FranConnect as our email marketing machine for the events that we do and other communication that we put out. So Kelly, Bevan, and I, Julie and Phil also are using FranConnect on a daily basis for a, this is how I'm organizing the tasks that I have, the steps that I have ahead of me. You know, I'm looking at them out, projecting out usually several days in advance. And I'm keeping my pipeline clean, and that has really been helpful. I set time aside in my calendar, as you guys will see, just once a week on Monday mornings to come in and look at my pipeline task list, or I should say the pipeline status update. And I'm using that on as a Monday morning regular something I'm dealing with in my schedule to kind of project out or reorganize what my steps are going to be with my client pipeline for the upcoming week. So that's been really helpful. It takes me 15 minutes. It's the first thing I do on Monday morning is look through that, look through what I have scheduled in my calendar, look what I have scheduled in the FranConnect task list, and that's helping me not just stay organized for the day, but for several days in advance. And we'll talk a good bit about Google here. So I decided a while ago to use Google Business Apps, which has pros and cons. It is how I have organized my entire business operation in the cloud. What's great about it is it's very simple to use. I have my Franet email coming into my Google Business Google account. I use the calendaring features. What I really like, the reason I chose Google in the first place, is you can give your team select delegated access. So it's like a hub and spoke kind of a model. I'm the hub. Kelly is a spoke. Bevan, who does some virtual work, I know she does virtual work for a number of other Franet offices as well, is a spoke. Julie is a spoke. Phil is a spoke. But I'm the hub. And I have control and can give access or take away access very quickly and very easily. So what Kelly has access to is based on what Kelly needs. What Bevan has access to is what Bevan needs. And so it's really been very nice and simple to use from that aspect. I will say, however, and Kelly knows this, there's definitely some challenges with it because Google changes things. They've changed it, I don't even know how many times since I first set this up, and it sometimes creates some tangled messiness with regards to Google profiles. Sarah Waskow gave a great topic or webinar on that a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of dialed into that. So that is something that you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. I think the pros outweigh the cons with using Google, but there are plenty of other online delegating access platforms. So I just have been a Gmail user for a long time, so I did that, and it's worked out nicely for us. But there are definitely others out there. I think that's all I have to say about that for now.
Okay, so the third slide, if you will, Megan. We wanted to give everyone kind of a snapshot. Leslie's done a wonderful job of explaining, you know, email is central to our business. And once she has, you know, set up her morning, her Monday morning to know what's going on in her pipeline, her FranConnect is up to date, then we start getting into the email. And as you can see here, this is just a snapshot of one day that we took of Leslie's email last week. And you can see that maybe she's got at any one given time in her inbox maybe 10 emails. And this is just a testament to how she keeps up with email. She has folders over on the left-hand side that there's one for me. There's one for pretty much every category of work that she does, including all of her client work and all of her employee work. So she files things and then goes through those files rather than having her inbox have hundreds and hundreds of emails, and it makes it much more manageable. I wanted to draw your attention to the upper left-hand corner right below the Franet logo is a pause button. You may not be able to see it very well, but, you know, we're juggling a lot of plates throughout the day, and one of the things that we found, actually Bevan found it, is a pause button on email. So if you are on the phone or on a conversation or maybe you're creating some content that you want to send out to your client, and you just don't want to be bothered with constant emails coming in, you can pause your email in this with using this Gmail feature. And this has been incredibly helpful. Leslie, you might want to give an example there of how you use it.
Yeah, this has been a game changer. I mean, my life with regards to controlling the bear that is email has become so much better since I've just adopted some disciplines with regards to really not letting email overtake my life. So, and it really started with starting to use this pause feature. And this is for Gmail specifically, but if one is using Outlook or, I mean, I think every email client is going to have some version of this. And it really has been a game changer for me that I pause my email. It is on pause most of the time. And I know it's on pause because there's that big yellow banner up at the top that tells me your inbox is currently on pause. And what's happening is my incoming email is being collected in a folder that it's just out of my sight, kind of out of sight, out of mind. And it allows me to finish things before getting distracted by the batch of 30 new emails that have come in the last, you know, hour and a half to 2 hours. So I only unpause my inbox 3 times a day, around 10 a.m., around 1 p.m., around 4 p.m. That's flexible with client meetings and seminars and other commitments. But it's 3 times a day. I'm kind of around those hours. And where people lose and where I found I was losing so much time in email was processing things over and over and over again, meaning I'd look at it but say, I don't really have time to deal with this right now. I'll come back to it later. You know, I may have spent, you know, several minutes looking at a singular email before I finish what I was doing with it. So this, and it does take some self-discipline here that I rarely have more than about 10 or 15 emails in my inbox at any given time now because I'm taking the time to process them and finish it before I move on to the next thing, specifically before I allow any more email to be in front of my eyeballs here distracting me. So that's been huge. And I've set up a bunch of rules with my emails. So there are certain things that I know, like the IFA Smart Brief. You know, I'll read them later, and I will kind of read things in batches. I'll read two-minute drills in batches. So I have lots of rules set up with emails coming in that they will just automatically be filed in certain folders, and I'll go look at them when I feel like it or when I have set aside a chunk of time to deal with whatever that particular, you know, type of activity is. I also have a bunch of emails set up that go straight to my trash bin. They're things, maybe they're newsletters from, you know, CPAs that I do business with or even a lot of the franchisors that, I mean, I'm just not going to read all of these emails. So I have them going straight into my trash bin. I don't want people to see that I've unsubscribed from them, but I don't want them to take up my time just having to deal with it either. So that's been good. I also don't deal with long emails. That I don't send long emails and I don't read long emails. If it's more than a few sentences that I'm reading in an email, I pick up the phone and call that person. And I've also learned that if you're dealing with some form of communication and it's really the sort of thing that is taking more than 3 or 4 back and forths, that just picking up the phone or sending a text is usually a lot more productive. So that's just been some change in my behavior recently. I'd say in the last, you know, 90 days, I was productive before, but I've really seen an enormous boost in my productivity by just adopting some of these new disciplines about not allowing email to take over my life. I unsubscribe from a good bit of stuff as well. Now, that begs the question, though, since I'm not looking at my email, and by the way, when it's paused, it's also paused on my phone. So when I'm out and about, you know, unless I've come in on my laptop here and unpaused it here, I'm not getting the emails on my phone. So if it's important to me to be able to get emails on my phone, like if I'm going to be out and about, you know, for a couple of days and probably not going to be opening my laptop, then I might unpause it, but I really don't. You know, I've just found that other than a few things like short forms and PFAs, there's really not a whole lot that requires a lot of immediate sensitive action. So I haven't missed anything. I haven't, you know, it's just opened up and created a much larger bulk of time for myself than just getting distracted by a never-ending flow of email coming in. So some tools that we have done around PFAs and short forms, because those are things that require more immediate response. So on short forms, Bevan and or Kelly, depending on for whom it is it receives copied emails on any short forms that come in. Actually, in our organization, it's Bevan. Phil is the one that handles short forms in our office here. So Phil is following up with those promptly, and Bevan has them too. So, and with any PFAs that come in, it was really awesome when corporate set it up so that you can receive a text message when a PFA comes in. So whenever I get a PFA, Kelly and I both get a text message, and we have a system internally where often it's Kelly who is the one that is then reaching out to that client to set up my time to meet with them. So even though I'm not looking at my email other than really maybe less than an hour a day now, these immediate things we've accomplished through some of these other technology tools, specifically through text messaging, and that's really been terrific. So if you guys are not doing that and would like to, Megan, I'm not sure who it is at corporate, but could help people get set up to get text notices on their PFAs. That's been really good.
Yeah, that would be either me or Sherry, just in case you guys want to know. Just reach out to me, and I'll make sure you guys get done.
Do we want to stop and open it up for any questions? I know I talk fast, and I'm kind of covering a lot. Megan, what do you want to do? Do you want to pause for questions or keep going?
Here. Keep going because it takes – I don't want to have to remute the lines because it makes that long, drawn-out noise. So let's just – if you have a question that you want to go ahead and ask now, please just send it to me in the chat so they can both see them. And then if you want to hold that to the end, we can open it up at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Kelly and or Bevan are handling, you know, data entry for all the PFA stuff. So, you know, uploading all that stuff into FranConnect, uploading it into where I keep it in my Google Drive. So, again, I think we're going to kind of move on to that in just a little bit here. It's not just about these technology tools. It's having the people to help you with them. And we'll address that in a little bit. But I think we're ready to move on to calendaring here.
So, Leslie, if I may,
one of
the things that I, you know, was very impressed with when I first came on to work for Franet is that there is a real commitment on the part of everyone on our team to block time in the calendar for everything pretty much that we have going on. So at any given time, I can go look in the calendar and say, gosh, you know what, today is, you know, an email blast. So I know that the last few days before that, I've got to get some content and some social media going to support that e-blast. We use it for marketing. Leslie blocks off time in her calendar for her organizational time. She has specific time blocked for client meetings. You know, we're really committed to sticking to the calendar. So if you want to take what Leslie has said about how she manages her email in the last few slides and say, how do you find the time in your day? She's extremely disciplined about putting these things in her calendar, sharing her calendar with her team so everybody knows at any given time what's going on. I'm not saying that this is, you know, set in stone by any stretch, and it changes frequently, but the calendar is a tool that we use to implement all the other things that we need to do, all the things that come through on email, all the PFAs, all the work that has to be handled by our office is in one glance available for everyone to see what we're doing.
And, again, I'm the hub. And Kelly and Bevan and are the spokes, but Kelly and Bevan have access to my calendar and they have access to my email. So if I were to, you know, go out of town for 2 weeks and wanted somebody else to handle my email, they could both easily do that. So it's giving my team, whom I trust, access to assist me in my absence. And with the calendar, this is huge. Like, you know, this is a month view. We're going to go to a week view in just a minute. But my calendar, actually, this is very white. I mean, my calendar looks like a rainbow. We have color codes for, different things mean different types of activities. Like purple means marketing, email marketing, or an event that's upcoming. Kelly has her colors. I have my colors. Bevan has hers. So I'm using the all-day features on the calendaring pretty regularly so that I can just at a global view have an understanding of what's going on this week, this month, the next month. And that just helps me get an overall feel for my level of busyness and planning accordingly. And, you know, Bevan and Kelly know when not to disturb me because I've scheduled, if it's just time for myself, if it's time for planning. So they pretty much know where I am and what I'm doing and can organize calls with clients, meetings with clients, you know, other important activities around that. So I think we're ready to go to the next slide then.
So this is just an example, but you can see we've got color codes for different tasks, and there's time marked out on the calendar. I'll draw your attention very quickly to, you know, Monday morning. Leslie has committed to every week having calls with her team members to, and that happens pretty much regardless. Nothing disturbs that unless someone's out of town. So this is a time when we get together and talk about the priorities for the week. What are we working on? What are our goals? And this is a weekly basis thing that Leslie has blocked out on our calendar because it's important. There's also time that Leslie uses here for organizational. So really the bottom line on this is, you know, everybody's going to have client appointments and commitments that they need to keep their business running. But also they're going to need to block out time to do the organizational things that keep your company moving. It's all in the details, right, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Devil's in the details. Exactly. Kelly, did you have anything else on this then? Okay.
I'm just being mindful of the time here. I know we've got to get through these last couple slides pretty quickly. So, we talked about helpful hint one, which is the goal, you know, the tools that you want to use and how you can use them efficiently and be committed to making sure that you keep them up to date. You know, Leslie has said often and a lot of times to the people that she helps in the business, you know, if you can, when you can, figure out what you can delegate and how you can delegate that. I know Leslie started out by outsourcing some of the things and making a list of some of the administrative tasks that she could offload. Whether you use someone that's outsourced or maybe a 1099 employee, maybe a college student or a family member, you know, maybe there's a way that you could add someone where if you know what your time is worth and what you're spending on administrative and organizational tasks, bringing in someone to help you out can make a world of difference in your life. And oftentimes you may be looking for someone who has maybe not the same skill sets that you have, obviously, but someone with complementary skills. Leslie, I know you can speak to that. You kind of have said before that you wish you had done this even earlier than you did.
Yeah, if there was one thing I would do differently is I would have hired some part-time administrative help, you know, from day one. And I think that is I think that's a non-negotiable in today's world. I mean, when I got started, we didn't have social media. I mean, we were sending stuff to franchisors via fax. Still, I mean, there was none of this stuff, and these tools and the way we market our businesses are great, but it just adds a lot more to the plate. There's just more plates in the air with it, so I don't see how anyone could really be a one-man band in this business and do it well. So, and I would go back and hire, even if it was just for 10 hours a week, some part-time virtual administrative help, but for those who really want to build a larger office, even if you're the only consultant in the office, some part-time help is really a must. I don't see how you can get away with not having it just to stay up to date without feeling overwhelmed. Every time I've added staff, I have seen a boost in my revenue and my profitability. So it's an investment in myself and makes owning my own business enjoyable. There definitely were times when I did not have any help that I reached thresholds of real burnout. I do like to feel like I'm on top of things. You know, I don't like to be reactive. I like to be proactive, and I realized I really needed to get some help. And so the good news is there's all kinds of ways that one can do that. Kelly is my full-time employee. She's been with me for about 2 years now. I started with Bevan Bonds, and I know she provides virtual support to a variety of Franet offices. Bevan's been with me for about 8 years and still is. She and Kelly do different things. They coordinate with each other. There is some cross-training that I've done there. So when Kelly's on vacation or Bevan's on vacation, I still have I don't have a gap in the administrative support that I need, and that Julie and Phil need as well. So there's actually, I've learned there's a company here in Atlanta that specializes in matching kind of what we do, but with virtual executive assistants. It's called EAHelp.com. Michael Hyatt is behind that organization. He's a thought leader that I really enjoy reading his blogs and follow. He's a productivity and efficiency expert. So for anyone who is, you know, thinking about and hasn't done it yet, needing some top-notch executive virtual support, EA Help, I know, is a great company that matches people to the right executive assistant. So go ahead, Kelly. I think that was all that I had there.
Great. And so the next slide, please. We're going to wrap up here because I know there's some questions coming in. This is great. So, you know, one of the things that we've kind of learned over time is that, you know, keeping the communication open with your team is really important. You know, Leslie's got virtual people working for her, so it's all the more important that we have, like, for example, I gave you the Monday morning priority calls, you know, the open line for check-ins. There's Leslie and I schedule FaceTime maybe once a week or twice a month so that we can really sit down and get a grasp of, you know, what our each of our priorities are and what our goals are for that quarter, and are we meeting them? Leslie's always open to hearing new ideas and offers, you know, opportunity for other training. And also what that does is create, we talked about on the social media call, Leslie's created brand ambassadors in the team that she has. You know, when there's social media, we had an event this weekend, a Meet the Zora event. There's social media. You know, I was out there sharing it with my friends as well. And creating brand ambassadors within your team is really important. And the way that's done is to, you know, give everyone the tools that they need to get their job done, keep the lines of communication open, and grow your team that way. And that really speaks to the last slide, Megan. If you'll go to the very end, this is our last slide here. So really the theme in all of this is, you know, to be clear about what tools you're using and to understand them and use them well. Keep the lines of communication open with your team and be consistent. If you're going to commit on your calendar to a Monday morning meeting, then really keep that going and your team can count on you. They know that they can always know that you're there and that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Leslie, do you want to wrap up with those?
Yeah, I think that's Kelly, if you had to pick one, which is the most important on our three C's here?
It would be the communication. There's absolutely no way, and this speaks not only to your internal team, but also the way that clients are handled. You know, there's no such thing as over-communication in my book. Would you agree, Leslie?
I think there's such a thing as over-email communication.
True.
But otherwise, yes, I agree. Absolutely. So I actually would have picked consistency on that. So because Kelly, you have to know how to. Kelly has multiple plates spinning as well, and she has to know how to organize that and prioritize that. And by us consistently having the check-ins that we do, and prioritization meetings, allows her to do her job and make decisions about, you know, how the priorities are changing when there's a lot of things flying around at once. So, but very good. I think that was it, Megan. If you want to open it up for questions, we'd be happy to.
I will unmute the line.
The conference has been unmuted.
So there were a couple chat questions. I think we should probably tackle those first.
Okay, let's see. I can't scroll up to see them. I see that. Can you read them to me there, Megan?
Sure. Yeah. So our first question is, have you found particular days and times of the week to be best for client consults and or phone calls?
Kelly, yeah. Why don't you address that? You're the one who's doing that mostly.
That's true. And, you know, I will, thank you. I will speak to that because when I first came on board and Leslie had these very specific times that she wanted to meet with her clients, I kind of thought she was a little nuts. You know, client services, you got to meet with them when they're available. And what I've come to realize is that when you do that, you completely lose control of your schedule. So Leslie basically has time blocked off. I'm not saying that if there's not a special situation, of course she makes time for her clients whenever they need. But I know that Leslie schedules Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays anywhere from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. is an ideal time. Those are ideal times for her to schedule her client meeting. When it's going to be outside of that window, we will talk about it first. But I know consistently Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. That means starting at 10 and finishing by 4 is what she typically does. And that works for her to allow Monday organizational goal setting time. And then Friday is a lot of times catch up time for her. So that hope that answers your question on that.
Yeah, Kelly, why don't you speak to Kelly does a lot of phone work. She'll be following up with people, leads from seminars. Kelly attends my seminars with me, and actually this speaks to productivity because the people at the seminars see her. They interact with her. She's a face. She's a name. She's someone they've shaken hands with. So she's the one that does a lot of the actual follow-up work with people who attend workshops. So, you know, and she's not a stranger to them, and that's worked very nicely for us. What about reaching out by phone, Kelly? I think you found there's some – is it afternoons?
Yep.
Or what have you found? And maybe speak to texting versus yep. phone calling and emailing yep. on how to get a hold of people.
If I don't have an opportunity, I like to ask people when I first meet them, is there a way that they like to be communicated with? And more people are saying text works for them. We're not getting landlines anymore. We're getting cell phones. So texting works. But, you know, trying to schedule a consultation with a client where they're going to be talking about really important things, now, I think it warrants more than just some back and forth email. And I'm like Leslie, I'm using email less and less. I'm actually picking up the phone, and late afternoon tends to work best. So anytime after 4 o'clock, a lot of times these folks are looking for jobs, they're looking for other opportunities, or they have commitments during the day. I can best reach people after 4 p.m., anywhere between 4 and 6. After 6, I generally don't call. I may text. So that works a lot for people as well.
Awesome. Is there any more questions about that particular subject right there? All right. So the other question was, does Leslie have a job description for her admin, and is it posted on FranConnect?
I do have one, and I will be. I don't know if it's on FranConnect, but I'll be happy to send it. But here's something you have to think about with that. You kind of have to think about the sort of stuff that you want someone to do. So Kelly has a marketing background, and I knew that I'd be hiring someone to be helping me with marketing communications and calling clients. So that's a bit of a different person than someone who's a real, you know, data cruncher here. So you have to think about, you know, what do you really want that person to do? Because you might have different job descriptions for different types of administrative and executive assistant support. So I'll be happy to send mine, but I knew I wanted somebody that had, you know, administrative with a marketing, creative, good interpersonal communication skills bent. So I will be happy to send that.
So that was all the questions that were in the chat. So for the rest of you, were there any things that you wanted to elaborate on or want to go a little bit deeper into?
And Megan, I see a question that came up that was to clarify, was it vahelp.com? What was the website Leslie mentioned on that admin help matching site?
It's EA Help. So E is an egg, A is an apple. Help, H-E-L-P .com.
Awesome.
Great.
Okay. Any further questions from the people on the call? Well, I think you might have covered the bases. I don't think we have any more questions.
Great.
So thank you so much, Leslie and Kelly, for going through what you feel is really valuable for people to know who want to be a little bit more organized or maybe take a look at what they're currently doing. I will go ahead and send everybody the link that she mentioned and then get that description that she was talking about. But other than that, thank you both for your time and everyone for joining in. I think that's it for today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good week. Bye.